Today on Central Standard, we'll learn about an interactive drumming program for kids, setting the name of African animals to a rhythm. Our guest has developed a program to teach kids around KC about traditional and world instruments. I'm Jabulani LaFall, and on today's Central Standard, we'll first go on a recipe safari of sorts with food writer Beth Bader and executive chef Shanita McAfee, both sharing recipes for everything in your CSA box, from everything slaw to a watermelon mint salad, things you can do to prepare cool foods on those nights you don't want to stand anywhere near your hot kitchen. And we want you to share your KC heat wave recipes as well. That's ahead on Central Standard after this hour's news. Good morning, Kansas City. Chances are that during this incredibly hot summer, you've either heard or uttered the phrase, "It's too hot to eat that." Well, today we've got the perfect recipe as the dog days of summer continue. Cool food for hot days. And we'll even demystify what is actually too hot to eat and what is actually hot enough to keep you cool. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabulani LaFall. Joining us now are recipe mavens Beth Bader, author of the Cleaner Plate Club, More Than 100 Recipes for Real Food Your Kids Will Love. That's the title of her recipe book. And Shanita McAfee, executive chef at Magnolia Cafe. Welcome back to the show, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What types of food do you eat during hot weather, Beth?
We eat a lot of salads. We eat a lot of cold dishes and things that can be prepared ahead of time. I can cook them on Sunday night when it's nicer and cooler, and then we can eat the leftovers chilled all week.
So mostly salads and cold foods for the summer.
Lots of salads, lots of veg that's been roasted and then chilled, and a vinaigrette, things like that.
Shanita, you're known for your spicy New Orleans-influenced fare, so what do you eat during the hot summer?
I eat regular like I normally do. I just probably change my eating habits. I probably eat a little heavier in the morning because it's a little cooler, a little lighter during the day when I start to heat up.
How do you adjust? More water or what?
Water. Tons and tons of water. I cut back on my coffee, unfortunately, because I have to hydrate.
Beth, I know your CSA box keeps you busy. How does that change the way you cook for your family based on how you use what's in your community-supported agriculture package that you get?
Well, thankfully, nature's kind. So in the seasons where it's really hot, she brings foods that are things you can serve chilled or just straight up like tomatoes. Tomatoes and cheese, tomatoes and lettuce, tomatoes and cucumbers, for example. Just all those good foods are good salad foods, and you don't have to cook them heavily. You can just do a quick saute if you want them hot, throw them over pasta, and you're done.
We've talked about salads and cold foods. Are soups good for hot weather? If so, what types of soups besides, of course, gazpacho?
Right. My favorite one, besides gazpacho, is a variation on that theme. It'd be a peach gazpacho instead of a typical tomato one. And you just do that with peaches and cucumbers. You throw it in the blender. You blend it up. Don't even have to add liquid. And then I serve it with a radish topping on top of that. And it's really good. It's real cool and refreshing.
Was that your idea? Were you just fooling around in the kitchen one day? Or is there actually a recipe, a pre-existing recipe for that peach gazpacho?
I had it at Story, and I loved it. And I just kind of picked apart the flavors and then went home and made the recipe myself.
Shanita, how you mix it up with salads or soups during the hot season?
We're still eating regular salad, regular soup. I think I've been playing around with the soups now, so my proteins have changed. I'm not doing a lot of red meat. Like, I think last week we did a sweet potato and shrimp and corn chowder. Then we did a sweet potato bisque with like a shrimp and bacon and roasted corn type relish on top. So a little lighter, more, you know, soups that don't require a whole lot of effort.
What do you hold back on? Do you hold back on the sodium? Do you hold back on the spice? What do you hold back on?
When it's hot, I hold back on the cream. I know people probably can't believe I'm saying that. I try not to do a lot of cream base because milk, and we just try to do lighter soups so they're not so heavy. And I mean, I always use my butter, so I can't cut back there.
Now, on NPR's food blog, plug. It's called The Salt. A report says that spicy food and hot drinks can actually help you cool down. Beth, do you find that to be true, if at all?
Well, I know a lot of people sweat when they eat a chili pepper. My husband does that. He just breaks that into a big old sweat, and sweat is cooling. So I can see where that would happen. So I still like spicy food in the summer. I'm not real big on hot drinks. Once it gets up to about 100 degrees, I'll switch off a regular coffee to iced coffee, and I like things cooler.
When you do go with spicy foods, what do you go with and how do you prepare it?
Well, right now is chili pepper season. We're getting into August, so you have all the fresh chilies coming in, and you still have all the tomatoes. So I just take and chop up onions and garlic and tomatoes and fresh chilies. I throw them on a tray at night, roast them in the oven, and I make my own salsa this time of year.
You talked about switching from hot coffee to cold brewed coffee. You have a recipe for cold brewed iced coffee. Tell us about it.
Right. I have to credit my other half with this one. He went out and researched it because he wanted to have iced coffee. And he grinds up a cup of coffee grinds and puts it with about 4 cups of room temperature water in a French press and just leaves that out for 10 hours.
10 hours?
Yeah, 10 hours. And that slow steeping process makes a nice low acidity with the flavor. It's really good. So,
when you say he leaves it out for 10 hours,
on the
is
counter.
It out on the counter, not in the fridge?
Right, right. Just room temperature in a French press covered. And then you just squash down the plunger, and it's ready to go one-to-one with cold water and ice.
So you press out the coffee grains and pour the residue or concentrate into a container and store it in the fridge for later?
Store it in the fridge for later.
How do you dilute it? It's strong. I mean, it's concentrate.
Yeah, he does it one-to-one, and then I put a little ice and half and half in there.
Shanita, how do you mix it up with hot drinks that in turn have to be cold?
I mean, my grandfather swore by the whole... My dad's dad, the hot drinks, and the summertime, it cooled him down, apparently. I never really could get with that. I tried it, but he was notorious for sitting outside in the heat, drinking a cup of coffee, and I'm like, why? I don't understand why you're doing that. So, that, like Beth, iced coffee is definitely good. Fruit juices, like fresh squeeze, you know, you throw your vegetables in your juicer and kind of mix it up with the flavors, lemon, lime. I like the lemon sweet potato juice combination. It's really good.
For the record, my grandfather liked hot drinks during the summertime too. He prepared moonshine in the backwoods of East Texas. Not necessarily a good thing. Came out looking like water. I can report to you, it wasn't water. So,
well, he was definitely drinking coffee.
How does the taste of the cold brewed coffee compare to the hot brewed coffee, Beth?
Well, I read up on it. It was really good when we tried it. And the lack of heat in the extraction process makes the coffee come out sweeter because the acidity is lower. So it's really good as an option.
There are no recipes for moonshine on our website, I'm sorry to report. But we do have a lot of these recipes that we will be talking about today with Shanita McAfee and Beth Bader. You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM. KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. As I mentioned, our guests are Beth Bader, author of The Cleaner Plate Club, more than 100 recipes for real food your kids will love. And we also have Shanita McAfee, executive chef at Magnolia Cafe. We're talking heat wave recipes here on Central Standard today. Kansas City, what have you been eating a lot of lately in this heat? Share your heat wave recipes with us for those nights you can't bear to touch the stove. What we've been doing with your farm fresh recipes and veggies, we want to know that. Our Heatwave Recipe Exchange hotline, which we've just established today live, is ready at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Call in with your Heatwave recipes. Call in to get tips on your Heatwave recipes that you might want to make. You can also write in at centralstandard@kcur.org. Our Twitter handle is @kcurcst. So definitely take part in this heat wave recipe conversation, and we'll get it cooking, so to speak. Let's get to recipes, beginning with you, Beth. And again, for our listeners who may just be joining us, we have these recipes up on our website at kcur.org for further perusal. Beth, watermelon, lime, mint, and feta salad. Three words. Yum, yum, yum.
It's good. It's a really nice salad. The rum is in there for the big people, but there's not enough in there that it's going to harm anybody, so enjoy that one. That one just came about with trying to mix up some flavors and make a really quick salad out of what I had on hand. And the watermelon was there, and the rum was convenient. So we put that one out, and it's been a favorite in my family.
So that came out of pure improvisation?
Yeah.
Just looking around, I got some feta, I got a watermelon. Let's throw some mint. The rum would be nice.
Well, it actually happened after we created a drink. We're trying to create a summer cocktail, and we took the watermelon and shoved it through a chinois, which is a fine mesh sieve, and it makes this watermelon juice. And we put that in the blender with the agave and the lime, and for the big people, rum and Midori, and it's like, and mint. And it was so good that I turned it into a salad later.
So you say rum is for the big people. Do you have to be a certain height?
Well, there is an age limit.
Let's talk a little bit about some of these ingredients and what they add to this dish. You have one small watermelon, seedless or seeded. You have lime juice. You have agave nectar. What does the agave nectar bring out in it?
That's just a little hit of sweetness. It's kind of nice on the salad, and it's a good contrast to the sharpness of the feta cheese.
What about you, Shanita? You have a multi-part recipe for something called grilled vegetable Napoleon. Talk about a short, complex people, Napoleon complex, and go there on it. Tell us about that.
It's a good way. Beth was talking about using your grilled vegetables and having them prepared during the week earlier. And it's another way to experience vegetables outside of a pasta salad or, just on your plate. You're stacking them up with goat cheese and pea shoots. And I love orange and sage together. I love sage. It's probably one of my favorite herbs and spices. So you just kind of mix it all together, toss it up, and, stack it up on the plate. And then if you want protein, because it's hot, you can do grilled shrimp or chicken or whatever you want to add to it.
What about this interesting ingredient right here in your vegetable Napoleon? And I'm going to ask you in a minute where the name Napoleon came from. But Creole mustard. What is Creole mustard? What does it add to this dish?
Creole mustard adds a little bit of spice to the vinaigrette, and it works well with the sage and the sweetness of the orange juice. And mustard is also a nice emulsifier when you're making a salad dressing. It gives you that thickness, that kind of the reason why people love ranch is because it's thick and creamy. You can achieve that same trick with your palate when you're using mustard. So we use the mustard to kind of thicken and spice the vinaigrette.
What makes the mustard Creole?
It's spicy. It's got, I think people just call anything spicy Creole. That's just
right,
what they call
right.
it in the store. But
do,
it's because
it
has
a little
spice
to it. Do you make
it from
scratch, or do you just
no?
Buy it
you
in
just
the store.
Use the Creole mustard that you can get in the store.
We're talking Heat Wave recipes on Central Standard today. 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also write in with your recipes at centralstandard@kcur.org. And we also have the recipes of our guests, Shanita McAfee and Beth Bader, on our website right now at kcur.org. We're going to go to Susie in Kansas City. Welcome to the show, Susie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to let you know that a few weeks ago, I bought an ice cream maker. And all the warnings on the ice cream maker said, be careful, this will expand your waistline. But we're making frozen Greek yogurt with ours. And we put all kinds of things in it, lots of fresh things in the yogurt, and we eat it for dinner. That's been our warm weather dinner, and it leaves us all very satisfied and full. And so it was a great purchase for us, and we're really enjoying it. And our waistlines haven't expanded. We're staying pretty healthy doing it this way.
Yogurt for dinner, Susie. How do you prepare it that makes it a dinner-worthy dish?
It depends on it. Well, basically, it's just like having ice cream for dinner, all except we can have a little bit more because there's no cream, no sugar. Essentially, the base is always a carton of thick Greek yogurt and maybe a little bit of honey if we want to sweeten it up. Usually, we put in some lime juice and maybe, depending on what we're using, maybe just a little bit of vanilla, but it depends on what we're doing. And I heard one of your guests talking about sweet potatoes, and I thought, well, that might be an interesting thing to run through through our Vitamix to get really, to kind of liquefy and maybe try that. I don't know, that could be kind of weird.
No, absolutely.
But we've been experimenting a lot.
Susie, you actually are on the line with the sweet potato princess, as she is known, Shanita McAfee. Speaking of which, and Susie, thank you for your comments. on the show. Speaking of which, what are some good sweet potato
recipes?
You can
easily do a sweet potato, lemon, and mint sorbet. You just make a basic, simple syrup. And she said that she has a Vitamix. It's a really powerful food processor. So it's going to get all the strings out of a baked sweet potato. You want to blend that up in there and add about a cup of that to a cup of simple syrup with some lemon and fresh mint. And throw it in your ice cream maker, and it's a great palate cleanser. The mint, the lemon, and the sweet potato work very well together.
This is the Heatwave Recipe Show on Central Standard today. On Twitter, we're trending sushi. Austin writes on our Twitter feed at KCURCST, sushi, it's a great summertime dinner. Kokoro Maki House in Waldo is how he makes it. And on Twitter, also, Carrie writes, sushi, same way. It's a great summertime, and boom, that's trending on. I mean, sushi is pretty much a no-brainer in the summertime.
Oh, absolutely, but it's not a home-cooked idea. I mean,
you also need a lot to fill up, and the preparation time with sushi is kind of prohibitive in a, you know, proper sushi,
right?
In hot weather,
it's more of a let's go out and get it, not a let's make it at home.
Right, let's sit on the veranda and enjoy it.
Well, it's sourcing your fish, getting it really fresh.
Right. Versus, and we should clarify, the sashimi is just the fish. Raw fish by itself, and the sushi is actually prepared with rice and seaweed, and that's what makes it different. So maybe you can just pull raw fish out of it.
No, definitely want
to
have sushi-grade fish that's approved to be eaten raw.
Maybe some ceviche.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, how is preparation of dishes different in the summertime for you, Beth? And then we'll go to Shanita.
I try and plan everything for the one spot in the oven that I need. So if I'm roasting a chicken for dinner to use in chicken salad and cold recipes all week, I'll throw the beets in that I'm going to roast and chill and then do a beet salad dressing and roasted beet salad. So everything goes in the oven all at once. I only turn it on once, and then I'm done for the week, and I don't have to heat up the kitchen every night.
Carrie tweets again. Corn. She switched from sushi to corn. Grilled, baked, sautéed, fried, all with tomatoes, fresh from the garden. Corn. Thank you, Carrie, for your corny recipe. Gene in Shawnee, welcome to Central Standard.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Enjoying the show, making me hungry.
Right.
Hey, I do, of course, the Hatch chilies, but the best chilies from New Mexico. I come from a chili roasting culture in northern New Mexico, and what I usually do is I try to get chili from a place called Chimayo, which is near Española and Taos area. But if I can't make the trip and get it, I go with Hatch chili, and I usually try to buy about a bushel of it. I don't like it pre-roasted. I like to roast it myself, and I roast it in the oven till the cellulose separates from the meat. And then I freeze it, and then I have it to use in many different types of recipes, sort of generic to northern New Mexico. But one of my favorites is either mixing it with stewed tomatoes and blending it together, more chopping it in a food processor rather than blending it. And then you can use it in different types of recipes. And then another one is to use the tomatillo and make a green chili salsa out of those peppers. And, of course, for me, hot peppers in the summertime are perfect for cooling you down.
Thank you very much, Gene and Shawnee, for your chili salsa recipe. Salsa is a pretty easy, quick thing to do. My favorite is mango with a little bit of cilantro, some jalapeno juice, pureed. It's ready.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. It's versatile. It's mobile.
Beth was talking about peaches. They're very much in season.
Yeah.
Peach salsa, peach jalapeno, but go very well together.
Yeah, there's a little jalapeno in that gazpacho recipe, too, just to give the peach a little kick.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And speaking of stuff that gives a little kick, you have an everything slaw.
Mm-hmm.
What is your everything slaw?
Well, the CSA brings forth all of this stuff.
They bring it forth.
Every week you pick up your bag and you get things in there like kohlrabi or radishes and... And I kept thinking, what in the world do I do with that? Or a whole head of cabbage all at once. And these things would land together with some cauliflower and some other coal crops that were coming in. And my answer was, I've got just enough time to make one dish, so I'm going to put it all together into a slaw. And it works really beautifully together, and it's a great way to use up that bulb of kohlrabi that you have no idea what to do with.
Why do you call it everything slaw?
Is everything in the CSA bag into the slaw?
Just grind it up and thrown in.
Shredded carrots, cabbage, kohlrabi, some radishes, little green onions, and mix it up with the blue cheese and the slaw dressing. It's really good.
Shanita, what's your take on coleslaw?
Cabbage and collards.
That's it.
That's it. White onion, vinegar. A little mayo.
Keep it simple. Keep it simple. We're talking Heat Wave Recipes, our radio recipe exchange hotline, 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also write into us at centralstandard@kcur.org and on Twitter, where our handle is @KCURCST. Facebook is also an option as well to write in and chime in with your Heat Wave recipes. We have Susan in North KC. Welcome to Central Standard.
Hi. One thing I like to do is make bread, and I make it year-round, but during the summer I especially make it in my bread machine so that it doesn't heat up my whole kitchen. And the kind of breads that I make during the summer include things that have lighter ingredients. I'll use my wheat berries and stuff like that and do like half whole wheat flour with regular bread flour. But I'll also include things like oatmeal or diced carrots or diced fruits in it to make it a little lighter. I also do pizza dough from scratch, and those can be cooked out on the grill. So that really allows us to keep the kitchen cooler.
Thank you very much, Susan, for your chiming in on this Heat Wave Recipe edition of Central Standard. Once again, not too late to get in on conversation, 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. What are your Heat Wave recipes, and what would you like to talk to our guest today about preparation-wise in their Heat Wave recipes? Once again, the number is 816-235-2888. You can also write in at centralstandard@kcur.org. Beth, talk about the kitchen setup. What are some ways to keep your preparation space cool?
Well, like I said, just kind of grouping things, heating the oven once, doing everything once, do a light saute, you know, just try and do things at night or if you're at home more in the morning on the weekends and keep that kitchen cool during the hot part of the day. Dinner is a chilled salad, you know, chicken tastes great chilled the next day. You don't have to have a hot meal every night. You don't have to heat the kitchen up.
What about you, Shanita? How do you keep the space cool?
We do the heavy prep, heavy cooking in the morning, during the day, or late at night. So in the summertime, when it's hot, over, 100 degrees, you kind of have to have a little bit of thought to what you're going to cook, unless you don't mind being hot. You know, when it's 112 at 5, it's probably not the best time to go outside and grill a steak.
Not at all. Not at all. Anthony and Shawnee, welcome to Central Standard, Heat Wave Recipe Edition.
Hi there. I had a dinner party recently in Washington, D.C., where I live. I'm just back visiting now, and I made a chilled pea soup with basil and mint, and it was the first time I'd ever made or served that before, but it's really great for this kind of weather. I'd be interested if there are other chilled soup recipes that the guests would be able to share.
Thank you, Anthony. We talked about gazpacho, peach gazpacho earlier, chilled soup recipes.
I'm working on a chilled zucchini recipe. It's not quite there yet, but it's got mint and lemon and zucchini and garlic and onion in it, a lot of herbs, and then serve just a little goat cheese on top of that. That one's a good one to explore.
Any chilled soup options for you, Shanita?
We do fruit soups, chilled fruit. It's a good way when you buy a lot of fresh fruit and it's starting to kind of be on its way out. You can definitely put it in those food processors and chill it, and it doesn't necessarily have to be breakfast. It's substantial enough to be a dinner.
Now, what turns the fruit into a soup versus a parfait or versus a fruit salad?
Well, because you're going to process it up and then strain it so that it has the same consistency as soup. It's just cold. It's very much like a gazpacho, but you're just using fruit.
Yeah. Right. Cherry soup is
the texture
really
is a little
good
bit better
too.
Than juiced in.
Mm-hmm.
JR in Midtown, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you. Basically, we load the Weber up in smoker mode, you know, doing all indirect heating with double the meat, and then, you know, the next day have a cold turkey salad or a chicken salad or pork ham slash ham salad.
Thank you very
much. Pulled pork roast.
Are you done with your list of smoked meats?
Cold rump roast. Anything you can smoke.
Anything you can smoke. Okay, JR is out here smoking meat in the summertime. Talk about that. The maximization of preparation, the sort of mass manufacturing approach to preparing food. He's smoking everything but the kitchen sink.
Well, that's a great way to do stuff. And it's greener, too, because you're saving a lot of power by just doing everything once, grouping it all up. You save a lot of time. Weeknights, you can pull things out of the fridge, get it on the table in about 10 minutes, which, you know, if we're running to ball games or having a busy summer schedule, that saves you a lot of effort and time, too.
We have a question coming in on Twitter for the Sweet Potato Princess. On Twitter, Austin wants to know Shanita's trick for sweet potato fries. He says his are too soggy. So take us through your method without giving away proprietary.
No, sweet potato fries are difficult. They're either too salty, too soggy, or too burnt. So you kind of have to cast iron one is the best way to fry sweet potatoes to me, because you're peanut oil, cast iron, and low and slow. And he's going to need to, you know, toss them and make sure that they're flipping over in the oil. And that's how we fry them. We generally do chips. It's a little easier to do a sweet potato chip than it is a sweet potato fry.
So, Austin, the advice is slow and low with the
slow
sweet
and
potato.
Slow.
Low and slow.
Yep. Get the oil hot, but cook it. But once it's heated up, kind of turn it down and let them cook slow, because sweet potatoes will turn black before you think they're crispy, and then they'll be burnt.
So if he does it slow and low, it's not going to work. You got to do it low and slow.
Low and slow.
With the sweet potatoes.
Yes.
Okay. What about storage considerations for outings, picnics, road trips? What are the best practices in hot weather? Going to start with Beth and then go on to Shanita. Go ahead.
Right. A lot of that is just be sure you plan ahead so you don't prepare the salad and then it's room temperature and then you throw it on ice and take it to the picnic. You would do it the night before, chill it down, pack it the night before, have everything nice and cold. So that just knowing ahead of time and keeping things at that safe temperature between, you know, under 40 degrees if it's something with mayonnaise or eggs or meats especially.
What are you working on sort of inspiration-wise, experimentation-wise, Beth?
My latest challenge is some friends of ours that are farmers, and they have the usual abundance of squash. You know how you get gifted with a bag of squash all the time?
It happens to me all the time.
You can only make so many chocolate zucchini breads before it's time to do something else. So I'm really working on the chilled zucchini soup or a zucchini lasagna, or, you know, I might even apply it to your great idea with the Napoleons.
Grilled vegetable lasagna works really good.
Yeah, so using up that squash is today's challenge.
Storage considerations for you, Shanita, for mobile picnicking or transportation?
Well, mobile picnicking and transportation, I absolutely do not do any mayo. Not at the family reunion, not at the, just stay away from the mayo products when traveling. And then also when you're packing your cooler, try to put your, if you're going to do salad that's got like a chicken salad or a potato salad, get that as close to the ice as you possibly can. And then if you're traveling with whole fruit, you can, some fruits do okay if you freeze them. And then that will also, when you're putting them in the cooler, add extra ice. And they taste really good when you eat them.
What are you experimenting with this summer, Shanita?
A lot. Working on new menu, so we're trying all kinds of different things. Working on a wine dinner, so I'm experimenting with peaches, just doing all kinds of crazy stuff with peach dressings, peach beurre blanc, peach stuffing. So that'll be next month.
Lots of good ideas on our Heat Wave recipe edition of Central Standard. You can find these recipes and info on our website at kcur.org. Our guests are Beth Bader, author of the Cleaner Plate Club, more than 100 recipes for real food your kids will love. Beth is doing two Costco book signings coming up July 21st in Overland Park and July 27th in Lenexa. So you'll want to go out there and get a signed copy from Beth Bader. As I said, more info is on our website at kcur.org. We also have in the studio Shanita McAfee, executive chef at Magnolia Cafe. It's there in Midtown. I suggest you check it out. And we were talking heat wave recipes here. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, our guest is marching to the beat of a different drummer, literally.